T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors. And then trapped in the other studio, Alec Medford. Gentlemen, it is time for overreaction or reality. And I will start with this. Overreaction or reality. Philadelphia Eagles offense is better off without A.J. Brown. Consider this. They've been trying to get Saquon Barkley going all year. Now, it is true they were going up against a crap defense, at least rushing-wise. But they put up 427 yards, 7.5 yards per play, 38 points. Jalen Hurts threw four touchdown passes, and Saquon Barkley had 150 yards rushing.
The Eagles are all-time 24-28-1 without A.J. Brown.
Since he's been there?
That's what it says.
Okay, because surely not all time. They played a lot of games before.
Yeah, since he's been there, Kevin.
Okay. I was going to say that feels wrong.
The team rushes for 276 yards and averages 8.4 yards per carry without him. Man, Jalen Hurts has actually been pretty decent without him.
Yes.
28 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. That's all right. 5,000 passing yards. Kevin, I think... He has an emotional side, much like Adolis.
I could see that.
Where
that's an interesting description.
Where if he's not into it and he isn't focused, it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
That being said, physically, the dude is insanely talented. I think it's an overreaction, but I'm perfectly fine with finding out if he needs to be traded and they can be without him. I'm okay with that.
Alec, what say you?
I don't think he's really okay with that. We know his ulterior motives. For me, I'm going to go reality. And I reserve the right to change my mind if he comes back, goes off, and they win another Super Bowl. I hope that doesn't happen. But I just think of it like this because of the emotional aspect. If you show up to work one day with a headache, do you think that your production is going to be equal to usual, less,
right,
more so? You take the Advil when you get home, you feel better the next day.
I
guarantee that the headache is gone and you're more productive the next day. I think there's something to that. I'm not saying that it's going to prevent them from winning long term or anything, but whenever you don't have that presence on the sideline causing issues and just getting in people's ear about, I'm not happy, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. People get tired of that. And when things are a little bit more open and a little bit more free just mentally, I think it pays off. And you saw it last week.
NFL overreaction or reality, Micah would have made the 2025 Cowboys a playoff team?
Reality.
Oh,
not I don't think a true Super Bowl contender.
I gotcha.
But dude, think about how many of these games are a couple plays away.
Yeah.
Now, again, those aren't against great teams. So that's where the great teams in the playoffs, you do realize there are better teams in the playoffs, right?
I've heard.
And so that's where the difference is. But I think that it's like maybe that Eagles game is a little bit different.
Okay.
Maybe that Packers game is a little bit different. Maybe you're not giving up 40 points. Maybe you're just giving up 32 points. You know, but I think it's just, and with this offense, the way that this offense is playing, I think that you're right there. So I think that's a reality. But do I think they're a contender for anything beyond that? No.
Okay. Alec, overreaction reality. Micah would have made the 2025 Cowboys a playoff team.
Corey, you swayed me. I was going to say overreaction, but I'm going reality because of the two games that you mentioned. I think that you don't have a tie on your record because
so that puts you at 4-4.
Yeah. And I think the pressure alone will get you one extra possession in regulation that you would have probably scored on because you were playing that well. And then I think you win the season opener against the Eagles. I really do because that Eagles offense looked bad. Mm-hmm. So I think
that'd have been 5-3.
Literally, all it takes is one crucial sack on a third down that gets you one extra possession. Yeah. And you're ahead at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I do question this, though, with all of the failures this defense has had this year. I don't think it would be that much different. Like, you are going to have, like you said, a crucial sack, a crucial pressure. You're going to have those things. But this defense still has a lot of holes. And if Eberflus couldn't fix that, do you think Micah's the unifying voice in that locker room on his side of the ball that makes that gets them all together to go?
Yeah.
I don't know about that because I never saw it really here.
Yeah.
I just knew that he was an uber talented player that felt like an individual uber talented player.
NFL overreaction or reality? Most NFL fans want an expanded regular season schedule.
Fans do. Overreaction.
Okay.
I think we want more football. I think we love football. We'd love to see, you know, good football played in the spring too. Because we do want it back immediately.
Sure.
But this season has gotten long. Like, you're in August, rolling all the way to February, mid-February now. And I do think that fans are kind of like, I love football season. But I think the owners want it far more than the fans do.
Alec?
I'm going to go reality because even though the season keeps extending and it does, like on paper, the season is very lengthy. It takes up a big chunk of the calendar. But I still find it amazing that we're as far into the season already as we are.
Okay. This is one of the rare times ever I have an answer to this question.
Oh.
There is a new poll from Quinnipiac that found that most fans, approximately 60%, support expanding the season.
I think it's either Quebec or Winnipeg, Kevin.
Those are different.
Not, you just merged them, it sounded like.
Quinnipeg.
Uh-huh.
No, that actually sounds kind of awesome, but yes. No.
60%, huh?
60%. So not like...
So they support it.
Yes.
But, oh, well.
But they also have pie in the sky ideas about how they would work because they said that would expand for more players and more money. And I'm like, maybe.
That wouldn't.
But.
No.
Yeah.
We've already discussed that at length.
Yes.
They're like, actually, I feel like the owners would be like, no, actually, since we're going to add more players, we need to reduce y'all's salaries so that we can pay the other players.
Overreaction or reality, the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl.
Overreaction.
Are you sure? They started out
0-2. Colts are in the way.
Since they got Rashee Rice back, they annihilated the Raiders.
He looks so good with that bunch right now.
Yeah.
And I don't know that... I think I said this off air the other day. Travis Kelce has so much gravity that when you watch, players pull to him. When he goes into a route, somebody's like, oh crap, I have to be around him. Which creates so much other space for Rashee Rice. Well, then now Rashee Rice has had a couple of catches, and he creates so much gravity that now Kelce and Worthy, like this, that offense now is correct for Andy Reid. And Rashee Rice is, he is playing with speed and playing with tenacity, and he is moving at a pace with fresh legs, too, that team needed desperately.
And yet you will deny the inevitable, eh? Overreaction or reality, Alec? The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
I got to go reality at this point. It's tough to say no because, like Corey was mentioning, like just on the surface level, it's amazing what happens when you give one of the best quarterbacks we've seen play, at least in this generation, if not all time. It's amazing what happens when you give him a weapon. On top of that, it's amazing how sometimes easy it is to open things up for an aging superstar like Travis Kelce. How do you get him spacing? You get somebody else to command attention.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes him look just as good as he ever has been because he's getting more open looks. Whenever you've got dudes coming off the street playing wide receiver, what are you going to do? Crash in on the future Hall of Fame tight end. Now everything is opening up for that offense, and it's going to be very difficult to stop.
You guys are going to have to think about this one just a little bit. NFL overreaction or reality? Caleb Williams will be the fourth best quarterback from his draft class. You've got Jaden Daniels. You've got Drake May, Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and Caleb Williams. So overreaction or reality, Caleb Williams will be the fourth best quarterback from his draft class.
Who do you have in front of him?
Theoretically, then, I would think Nix, Daniels, and May. Not
no, Daniels still, huh?
Not in that order. I still think, and I understand the injury
concerns.
Dude's going
to play with injuries his whole career.
You might be right. And that feels like the number one thing that is going to derail him. But that talent is unbelievable.
I can see Nix with Sean Payton being there.
Drake May
is right now one of the best quarterbacks playing.
Yep.
But this is a small sample for him at the moment, too. Sure. I'll say overreaction for now. I'm still giving space for the Ben Johnson revival here.
And you know what's interesting about that, then? If we could stop on that for just one second.
Stop.
Being the fourth best quarterback in this draft class seems like definitely a negative, right? It could oddly turn into
could be a great draft class.
Still pretty positive. All right, overreaction or reality, Alec. Caleb Williams will be the fourth best QB from this draft class. His draft class.
This one's tough. I'm gonna go overreaction because I do think that he needs more time with a distinguished play caller like Ben Johnson, and this trend that has been an awful trend throughout the NFL of, you know, these top picks getting their play callers abandoned within their first season or after their first season, it's never really fair to them. It's never really fair to the projection of what they can or can't be. The talent is just so unreal, and I think his shortcomings are stupid little things that can be fixed and can be addressed. It's all between the ears. You know, some of the stuff, like you see him sidearming a, you know, something out to a swing pass, and he's just drilling his running back in the feet, you know, on a wide open play. Stuff like that, it's going to get fixed, I think. So when those things get fixed, I think he'll be in the top two conversation.
Overreaction or reality, the tush push will be banned after this season. It just... After another
every
thing,
year you ask this, Kevin, and every year I say no.
This is the time.
Why? Because of all the penalties?
It just feels like these missed calls in the tush push have gotten egregious.
I think that they're just going to tweak that and say, hey, we gotta do this better rather than taking the whole thing out of it altogether. But I say overreaction. That's where I still stand on it.
Alec?
It's a reality. It's going to be gone. It was close enough the first time around, but now... People are getting so fed up with it because of the officiating and because we're seeing it more and more. And you saw, what was a few weeks ago, four straight plays or whatever it was where they ran it. That's just not good for the game. But they've already tried to address the officiating of it. They already told the officials,
what a good
hey,
job that
yeah, went. you gotta be better at this. And what have they done? They've been better at it with every other team in the league, not Philly. They're not officiating it fairly for Philly. It's weird. And I think it was close enough last time around. I think people are fed up.
Wonder why.
Because it's against
what us. Does Philly have on them?
Yeah. They're special.
They have Big Dom.
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks ago, I said, screw it. The Bengals are going to win the AFC North. Today, overreaction reality. Screw it. Now the Ravens are going to win the AFC North again.
Yeah, what are you doing? Because of Lamar Jackson taking Lamar the Jackson ping pong tables back, out?
And Pittsburgh exists, barely, but they don't want
to
win
so,
it.
So you're saying somebody has
yeah,
to win it?
Somebody has to win this division. I don't know if I'll get all the way back around to Cleveland, but we'll see. Overreaction reality, screw it. Now the Ravens, who were 1-5 at one point, are going to, and they're just one win removed. They're still 2-5. The 2-5 Ravens are going to win that division.
Push.
No push.
I'm pushing
push.
On this
no
one.
No push.
I'll say overreaction.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I think Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh's going to somehow win it.
I think
they're going to win just enough games in the division to have like a 8-9 record,
yeah.
And that's just better than everybody else in that division.
All right, Alec, what say you?
I hate this question because everything is still on the table, and I hate that because that division stinks.
It does.
Such bad football. It's not even entertaining. It's entertaining maybe once every 3 weeks to watch that division play against each other. I'm going to go overreaction. The Steelers are going to
But you kind of hate yourself for it a little bit, don't you?
I do, because I don't want any of them to be a playoff team. None of them deserve it.
Right.
They all stink. Yeah, they're going to accidentally, they're not going to try to win. It's just going to be a, hey, you happen to have the best record. Here's the banner. Put it up.
There's overreaction or reality.
You know what, too, about that? They'll one of those teams will accidentally get in the playoffs and then win a playoff game because of the style of football they play and the opponent, it's just the right matchup and it'll infuriate us even more.
Just like the Giants and Daniel Jones a couple years ago.
Yeah. Yes. You might be right about that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will hear from Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer, but also navigating the NFC East. Are the efficient Eagles back? Next on The Fan.
Hurts on the keeper. Oh. He's got a man wide open. It is Goddard who walks in. Touchdown number 2 for him and for Philly.
We're going to navigate some more of the NFC East. Your options, the Commanders, Cowboys, or the Eagles.
Commanders.
Ooh, all right. Let's go with the Commanders where they have some issues, man, outside of Jaden Daniels. Once again, they gave the opposing quarterback too long to throw on Monday night. Patrick Mahomes, 2.95 seconds to throw on Monday night. That's the most time he's had to throw the ball all season. On throws of over 4 seconds, he completed 8 of 9 for 149 yards and all 3 of his touchdown passes.
Good job by the offensive line.
For sure.
Also, Dan Quinn's defense struggling.
Yes. Yes. And so my question is, what direction are they going? Because Jaden Daniels coming back versus the fact over the next 5 weeks, they play Seattle, Detroit, Denver, like they have several really tough teams on their schedule and they're already in a disadvantaged place with their record. Feels like this season could go pretty south pretty fast.
I think it's happening.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're seeing very quickly for them right now. Dan Quinn's got to be able to turn that around as fast as he can, but there's a variety of things regarding injuries and their defense.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
And you know, we kind of did see there are times once you see a Dan Quinn defense, you're like, okay, I get it. And you start to kind of, he evolved.
Yeah.
He has to do some more of that too. And, I think there's more to it than just Dan Quinn, because there's some good play callers there too.
Big few days for their kicker or former kicker, Matthew Wright. He joined the Commanders on Monday and was released on Tuesday. He was signed to their practice squad and elevated to the active roster for their game against the Chiefs because Matt Gay was ruled out with a back injury. He made an extra point, but they didn't score anymore. So yeah, all he did was kickoffs, and then he was let go. Now, keep an eye on Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt. This has been something really interesting, and you saw it at play in the Cowboys game. You go back to the beginning of the month. They play against the Chargers. They dominate the Chargers in the second half. He goes wild out there. Since then, every single one of his rushing totals has dropped, even though his carries haven't dropped as much as you would think. So the next week against the Bears, 17 carries, 61 yards. Cowboys, 13 carries, 33 yards. Last week, just a couple days ago, 9 carries for 25 yards. So his average has been 3.6, 2.5, and 2.8 yards per carry. He was a seventh round pick, and he started off the season really well, but these last 3 weeks have been a slog.
Yeah, I remember after the Panthers game, everybody was like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
We are in so much trouble. And then he had a couple of good runs to start.
Yeah.
And then
not so much.
I wonder if, you know, I've always, how much does Mariota affect that?
Sure.
But
to a certain extent, yeah, I agree. But that is a drastic fall off. The Cowboys still stink at defense.
Yeah.
And they've shown they can't really stop the run. And they look like a freaking brick wall against him.
Yeah. And I think you add in that Kingsbury sometimes does get into, well, abandon the run game effectively. And let's focus on how we can pass the ball more.
Let's go with the Cowboys next. After two rushing touchdowns on Sunday, Javonte Williams has 8. In 2025, the last Dallas Cowboys running back with 8 or more rushing touchdowns through the first 8 games of the season was Emmitt Smith in 1999, when he already had 10 at this point.
So what you're saying is,
he's the next Emmitt Smith.
We have the future all-time leading rusher right here for like $3 million.
You might have the Emmitt Smith of... even 1999 feels too generous. All right, let's go from that to...
Wow.
He's still really good then. The Cowboys scored points in 20 consecutive quarters, if you count overtime as a quarter, dating back to the second quarter of their Week 4 tie against Green Bay. That is the longest active quarter scoring streak in the NFL, so I'm sure they're looking really good for the playoffs.
They're in it still.
That's true.
You know,
I don't believe they're in the hunt. I don't believe even the Jets have been eliminated just quite yet.
I wouldn't even
yet.
Put them on the bubble right now. I'd just say they're in the hunt.
Okay. Know? Now, for the first time since his rookie season 3 years ago, Jake Ferguson, no catches.
Why?
He had 51 receptions going into the week to lead all tight ends, was averaging more than 7 receptions a game. Then I believe he got targeted, once? No catches. That is the first time since he was a rookie that no catch game.
Well, I mean, obviously, Sean Payton and company were like, Vance Joseph was like, we got to make sure we stop that because that's Dak's security blanket. If all else fails, he's going to pick up yards there. But, dude, he was just announced as the 2025 Salute to Service Award nominee presented by USAA.
Hey!
He made it a priority to honor, empower, and connect service members, veterans, and their families.
So it's USAA throwing the ball. Right? Yeah. All right. For the Eagles, who still lead the division and look like they might break the unbelievable NFC East streak, this is the first time they have had two running backs with 100-plus yards in 12 years.
Really?
Saquon had 156, not as well publicized. Tank Bigsby had 104 yards. First time they've had multiple 100-yard rushers in the same game in 12 years.
That is impressive on their part, man.
It really is.
And that shows, the opponent, you know, for one. So that was a great opportunity to take advantage of that. But, man, to see Saquon open the game up the way he did, was good for them and for my fantasy team.
Well, see, that's what we were waiting for. And then one more unfortunately positive thing for the Eagles is they went 3-for-3 in the red zone. And so then I asked the question, do you worry that the efficient Eagles have made their way back? Because the efficient Eagles marched all the way to a Super Bowl title last year.
Well, and now they're on a bye week, so they get to come from that game and go, okay, what adjustments did we make to look good there? And what adjustments can we make? Getting the rest, coming off a bye week, having an extra week to prepare for the next opponent. I think the next game, they're going to look very good. But can they clear up whatever the turmoil is with A.J. Brown to keep that from being a problem for the team?
Yeah.
Like, because, Kevin, you've seen over the years that he's been there, good A.J. Brown, good team.
Right.
Sad A.J. Brown, bad team. Like that that seems to be the thing that cracks the foundation for them.
Yeah, I'm honestly not
so
sure.
So as efficiency goes, I think that's going to be a huge factor in that.
The Eagles have found themselves at 6-2 or better for a franchise record 4th straight season. Like if you wonder how they continually are so good, well, you've seen they've had incredible first halves of the season. They've been 6-2 or better 4 straight years.
Not how you start, though.
It is how you finish.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's also how you start because you can finish really good, but your start was so bad.
Right.
It's like, doesn't matter.
Do you care about the specific uniforms and records that go along with them?
I do.
Okay.
I'm ridiculously invested in this because we did the study that red uniforms win more often than not. I just think that's fascinating.
Then you will no doubt be ecstatic to learn. Well, probably not, hopefully. In their Kelly Green uniforms, since bringing them back in 2023, the Eagles are 5-0.
The ones that like Randall Cunningham used to wear? That look?
Yes!
I'm not going to lie.
Those are sweet.
It is a pretty sweet looking look. As far as like the throwbacks go, like that's a pretty nice one. I wonder if that's like they feel good, you know, look good, feel good, play good and kind of thing. I wonder if that's the thing for them.
Yeah, I know that saying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure
sometimes
how
when
prevalent
you put
that is.
You look at the uniform and you lay it like Randall Cobb used to lay his uniform on the floor as like his body. So he would lay his cleats down at the foot and he would line it all up all the way to his helmet. And then he'd stare at it for like 20 minutes and then he'd put it on. And I don't know how he, like, did he jump into his pants 2 legs at a time? Nobody knows the answer to that. But he would put everything on. And that was part of his mindset of, that looks awesome.
Yeah.
And now I'm about to put that on my body. And I feel like that's a big deal.
I have one more thing for the Eagles if you needed more positive news for them, unfortunately. Jalix Hunter, the 3rd-round pick from last year, he had a sack and generated 9 pressures this past weekend, and that was 9 pressures on 22 pass rushes. That's a pressure rate of 41% that exceeded his, think about this, his career high previously for pressures was 5. And in this one, he had 9.
Really?
So that is a staggering increase right there. And unfortunately, yet more good news about the personnel and drafting ability of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Now you are caught up as we go around or across the NFC East is what I'm going to say. I want to go back, if we can. Can you give me cut number one? And let's take just another second to enjoy the NHL Frozen Frenzy.
Not pass Rantanen. Kept it in. Shake it. Centering pass. Score! Deflected in front. That may have just been a fortunate bounce for Tyler Seguin as he was looking to center one through the crease, and it ends up in the back of the net.
Are you familiar with the NHL's Frozen Frenzy?
No, I'm not. Should I be?
I don't recall particularly hearing of this before either, but it is the day of the season where all of the teams are in play.
There's only one day the whole year?
I think there might only be.
You are kidding me.
The one day.
The Frozen Frenzy.
The Frozen Frenzy.
I did not know this, and I don't know why. Dude, there's 82 games for each team.
And it's about to be 84.
And yeah, they might change it, which means at that point, maybe somebody could go 84-0. Nobody knows.
And
but
all I'm going to go back to Jim Nill on that. And they're all staggered like 15 to 30 minutes apart, which means like there's always kind of something going and something to watch. The last game started, I believe, at 11 p.m.
Really?
11 p.m. Eastern, though. So, like, it took place on the West Coast, and so it would have been 8 o'clock their local time.
So that's like
time.
4 in the morning for the Eastern Coast.
By the time that game ends, it could easily be like 2 in the morning or something like that, or like a World Series game.
So, hold on. NBA, do they have only one day per year when all the teams are playing?
See, I don't know if it's only one day, but I know they definitely have a day where all of their teams are playing.
The NFL does this. Well, I guess not, because they have Mondays and Thursdays, sometimes Tuesdays.
The NFL does not have one single day where all the teams play.
Wow, that is...
They don't.
Yeah, because even late in the season when they're like, we want everybody to kind of finish at the same time, they throw in Saturday
games.
Yes,
correct.
Interesting.
So see, like, you assume this happens all the time, but it actually very rarely happens.
We got to ask the baseballers. We got to see what they're doing.
All right, we'll do that. In the meantime, we will hear from Brian Schottenheimer right here on The Fan.
That 40 mile an hour winds, yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
Golf, yeah. I'm game. Let's go.
Calvin Watkins, Dallas Morning News. Your safety situation, how much do you think Donovan will?
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
We'll go today, or Wanya, is he feeling better?
Yeah, again, both guys are trending. I don't know how much they'll do today. We do have the extra day this week, but like I always say, each day there's information that's given, and I would say that both guys are doing everything they need to get back, but we'll see kind of where today, tomorrow, and next couple days look. But definitely a little thin right now.
Cooper, how's he doing? You think he'll practice it as Devils on target?
Yeah, yep, for sure.
Trade deadline next week. How much do you talk to your guys about blocking out the noise of what goes on around here in terms of making a trade or that kind of thing?
Yeah, I don't really talk a whole lot about that. I mean, I just focus on us trusting the process, and there's always going to be noise, and these guys can't control the noise any less or more than we can, and there's always going to be noise, and there's always going to be speculation and things like that, but our focus is really truly just on one day at a time, get ready for Arizona, and so I don't go too much into that.
Brian Tower, True of the ESPN. CD had, besides the Chicago game, had his lowest play time of the season. And maybe some of that's due to the end of the game. He brought in the backups for the last drive. But even before that, he was going in and out of the lineup. What was wrong with
Yeah, him? I don't think there's anything wrong. I think, again, he's, there's different personnel tags. We certainly don't have many that take him out of the game. But there are a few things that we will put somebody else in to do certain jobs. I won't tell you all the jobs that those guys do. But, yeah, I think it was more of a deal. We knew it was going to be a long game playing, in Denver and playing a good team. And I really don't think it was anything, concerning. No, absolutely not. No, he's feeling good.
And then as everything with this season comes back to Micah and the trade and all that stuff, did you guys underestimate in any way what he does for guys around him or overestimate what you guys had remaining after the trade?
No, Todd, I think, Mike is certainly a great player. And we all know that. No one will ever point to the fact that Mike is not a credible player. But, defense is about more than just one guy. I mean, some of our defensive struggles have not been because of one guy not doing the right thing, and it's not been, one assignment. It hasn't been one defense, whether it's man, zone, whatever. It's been, what team defense is about. I saw a crazy stat. Myles Garrett, somebody said, had 5 sacks last game, and they lost. I mean, this is the ultimate team game and defense, and the more I spend time over there, you realize, I guess as the offensive guy, I just kind of always took it for granted because we had our own issues. But, if you're not aligned perfectly in terms of your fits and things like that, it makes it really, really difficult. And so, I all respect to Mike. What a great player. But, team defense is what we need to play better.
Do you have enough guys to play that? Have the guys you've had not played to the potential that you guys thought it would?
No, I think, none of us have done good enough. I mean, coaches, players, head coach, none of us have done good enough. That's real. I mean, our scorecard is what it is, and that's not just, defensively, that's offensively. We're a football team that's 3-4-1. You can take the stats on offense and shove them up your ass, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, is what it is. We want to win, and people talk about, hey, MVP and this and that. Dak Prescott doesn't want to win MVP. He wants to win a Super Bowl, and that's what we want to win. And we're not there yet. We've not played that consistently well enough to certainly be in that discussion, but it doesn't mean the journey stops. It certainly doesn't stop. It just, you get more focused, you get more intentional, and we got to do it together.
John Machado with The Athletic. Arizona lost 5 in a row, but every one of those games are all 3-4 two-point games. What have you seen from them? What stands out about them to you?
Good football team. They've had missed Kyler for a few games. He's obviously a dynamic player, and they've been a little bit beat up, like a lot of teams in the league. But I see a team that's hungry. They play you hard. They have lost some close games. I know on defense, they went out. They spent quite a bit of money on adding guys like Calais Campbell and good players like that. Buda Baker, shoot, I mean, this guy, he just doesn't get enough credit for what a great football player he is. I saw him in a game, literally in a game, when I was in Seattle, literally take out two of our running backs. I mean, he plays the game the right way, and not enough people talk about what an elite player he is. And, they want to run the football. They want to get the ball, obviously, to McBride. He's a really good weapon. And, I just think that they're, like everybody, they're aggressive. Defensively, they're very multiple. They do a lot. Nick Rallis is a really sharp defensive coordinator, puts his guys in good positions, and they're a good football team. Don't let the record fool you.
And then with Kyler Murray, it'll be a big story this week. Obviously, he's 9-0 at AT&T Stadium going back to high school. Do you think any of that stuff even matters? Is that even something that you even would talk to or mention to your team?
No, I don't think so. Hopefully it means he's due to lose one. Kyler, if you want to help. But no, I think, obviously you can't speak about Kyler Murray without talking about what an incredible player he was at Allen and in high school, and, one of maybe the greatest high school quarterbacks of all time. He's in the discussion, but, I'm sure he'll be excited to come back here and very comfortable playing here. But again, whether you play at AT&T Stadium, you play out in Arizona, you play in a neutral site, he's still a damn good football player. They're a good football team, and we're going to have to play well to beat him.
Nick Harris, four-star Telegram. A little bit more on Kyler in high school. That 2015 year with Georgia, did you evaluate him at all or look at his high school tape from that context?
I don't think so. I've known the name for a long time, because you couldn't open up an article, or I guess the internet was rolling back then, but, you'd hear his name, this kid from Allen, Texas, and, the more you study him and you jump into it, which, I did a little bit, you always see the crossover tape, but when you study them like you kind of do this week and like we've done this week, sitting in some of the meetings, you just see the incredible speed and quickness and agility, but the passer is pretty elite too. So presents a lot of problems for you defensively. And it's one of those situations that, again, you can get pressure on him, but he's hard to get down. He doesn't get sacked very often. Nick, he gets out in space, and then, you have the perfect contain plan, but he's so quick and so fast, he's able to avoid it and get outside. And that's why we got to do a really good job, not just up to the 2.3, but beyond with our coverage responsibility.
You guys are opening the window for Perry on Winfrey today. What do you hope to see from him this week?
Yeah, again, just looking to get depth. Here's a guy that, again, has good flexibility for us, can play inside, can play outside, love his play style. That's a big part of what we're looking for. All 11 guys, just playing hard, playing to the whistle, playing on the edge without going over the edge, and that's all he knows. And so I know he's worked really hard to get back and feels great, and he's excited.
And then where is Josh Butler in his recovery right
yeah.
now?
Yeah, again, I think Josh is doing everything that he's supposed to. I think he's another guy that at any moment we probably could, lean on. But right now he's doing an awesome job with Britt and those guys, and he's chomping at the bit. I have kind of a line of people at my door every couple of days of guys that want to get back out there and help us, and that's how you have the right chemistry in the locker room, the right culture, because these guys see us struggling in some areas and they want to help, and I love that.
Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com. Jerry was talking about yesterday how one of the changes defensively this week, coach is spending some more time in the linebacker room specifically. Has that been the case? Have you been in there? And if so, what do you say to them, and what do you kind of try to tell them in terms of how to get the ship back on track?
Well, like I said the other day, I think Monday somebody asked me about it. I mean, the linebackers, obviously, they get everything started. And, they're the ones making the call, number one, with the green dot, with K-9. And then they got to set the front, based on how we want to go, whether it's close right, close left. And the biggest thing for us is the focus of making sure that we can kind of, like I said, see less. Right now we're seeing too much, and so therefore our fits aren't exactly right. Is it them every time? No. But it's more of an emphasis of, hey, these guys have some indicators and things that we want to be on top of, and so it's just a big, push from myself and Flus and guys like that to make sure that, these guys are doing the things they need to do to see less. And because a lot of times your defense will go how your linebackers play because of the proximity to where they are to the ball.
Thank you.
You were talking about with Arizona, how they've had some close losses. You have as well this year. And there's no textbook answer for finishing close games, but what do you feel like in your mind gives teams the best chance to finish and win on in those close one possession games when it comes down the wire?
Yeah, I'm probably old school on that, Tommy. I mean, I think it comes down to confidence. You know, I think when you've done it before or multiple times, you know, you watch some teams that you know, they find a way to win a lot of games. It carries over to the next time you're in that situation. Most of these games in this league are going to come down to, you know, close games. And, you know, we know we've got a quarterback that knows how to win. We know we've got talented players on both sides of the ball. We know we've got a kicker that can kick it from, you know, Midland through the uprights. I mean, we have those things. But, you know, you draw back on the experience of the close games and finding a way to battle back against the Giants and things like that. So I think it comes down to confidence.
Skyler Dixon with DAT. Monday night game, bye week, Monday night game. You've been other places. You've been here a few years. Is it real that the Cowboys' schedule is quirkier than most just because of the profile and stuff?
That's a good question, Skyler. I mean, this year certainly it is. I mean, you can't say that it's not. I mean, the multiple Thursday night games in this schedule, but I don't think they're doing that to penalize us. I think, you know, people love to love or hate the Cowboys, and that's part of why we play how we play, where we play, and whatnot. But again, it really doesn't matter. These guys would go and play anybody, anytime, anywhere. But I can't say that it's not something that is definitely noticeable when you look at the schedule, and the Thursdays and things like that are a little different.
And the extra day this week, obviously, and then the extra day coming out of the bye, what difference does that make? Does that help in terms of recovery and all those kinds of things, or mini buys, however you want to look at it?
Yeah, well, like this week, for example, we're going to work normal today and tomorrow, and then Friday will be kind of we're calling it a bonus day. It's a chance to kind of look back on our first, second, and third down plan to tighten up some things there. We won't really do anything on the field other than a mock, kind of a walk tempo, because we really don't want these guys having to run 4 days in a row. And then Friday, Saturday of the, not the week, but of the, so Saturday, Sunday, we'll get back to our normal routine. But you use that. And we need that for mental reps. We need that for communication. We need that to tighten up some of the things that, again, going back to Tommy's question, what we're seeing, and great chance to dive into more film and let them see Arizona, you know, and what they're doing offensively, what they're doing defensively, because they do create problems defensively with some of their alignments and the multiple fronts that they play and the different personnel. They got three safeties and they do things like that. So I think the extra day will be big for their bodies, talking about our players, but also for them to see more and more game film, because you'd be surprised how much game film you really don't get to watch, you know, because you're watching more cut-ups and things like that based on the situation of the day.
Babe Loftner, 105.3 The Fan, Cowboys Radio. Brian, so you talked about Kyler Murray being out the last couple of games, but with Brissett, they've been better every statistical category across the board: yards, third downs, throwing for 100 more yards a game. So what do you see when you look at those two games compared to what they were doing previously? Why have they been?
Well, I'm a huge Jacoby Brissett fan. I mean, I had him in Indianapolis, babe, and he's one of my favorite guys ever. I think maybe it's because after, you know, we were surprised that Andrew couldn't come back. Talking about Andrew Luck, of course, we traded for Jacoby during the bye before the first game. And, you know, I think there's something about Jacoby. You know, I'll brag on him for a minute, just the type of leader he is and things like that. Arm talent's incredible, but they do play a little different. You know, they played more from under center than they do with Kyler. And, you know, with Kyler, they're in the gun more, and they do a little bit more pistol and things like that. Jacoby's not going to run a whole lot. He's not going to run some of the counter read schemes that they do with Kyler, so that certainly looks different. But, again, I think they're very comfortable with both quarterbacks, and certainly Kyler's their starter. But I'm not surprised that they played well with Jacoby. He's a incredible competitor and incredible young man.
In a situation as the offensive coordinator or whatnot where you start doing some things differently because you have to, because of the personnel, but then all of a sudden you say, hey, maybe we should do a little more of this. I mean, do you expect some of that?
Yeah, I mean, potentially. Again, I think that ultimately you need to do what your players do well, and you're certainly going to start with what your quarterback does well. So, you know, there's plenty of games from Kyler's history to look at, but, you know,
Jacoby did exactly what a good backup's supposed to do. He went in and gave him a chance, and you know they didn't get the wins on a couple of the games, but he's done what he's had to do and he's performed well.
Garrett Odell, CBS Sports. Brian, you were on the Cowboys staff when Jonathan Gannon was with the Eagles. What are your thoughts on going against him as a play caller, both he and Josh Sweat?
Really like Jonathan a lot. Good guy, damn good football coach. You saw it when you played Philadelphia, the intense, the style that they played with, that his defense has played with. You see that with this Arizona team. They're tough. Talked about Buda Baker, Calais Campbell. But, Josh is still playing at a very high level. He leads the team in sacks. He's really playing on both sides. They're moving around, playing him some in the boundary. The positive thing for going up against a great player like Josh is we have some awareness of him. We've played him a number of times, they've got good pieces. And when you look at this team and the way they're built, you can see Jonathan's personality.
Joe.
Joe White, Dallas Morning News. Jaden Blue had the most carries of his young career so far, had a 14-yard run, also had a fumble. What do you make of his performance on Sunday, and how important is it as the season goes on with Javonte to try and identify someone who could spell him pretty consistently?
Yeah, again, I think you hit it best. I mean, Jaden was inconsistent in the game. He did some really good things, and there were some other things that he's got to do at a higher level. The fumble was a good hit. He needs to hold on to the ball, and actually our combination block was supposed to come off too, and it didn't. So, again, that's a blocking issue. Again, he can continue to play and emphasize playing more physical with and without the ball. That's real. That's a young back learning the speed of the game, the physicality of the game. But to me, I'm always going to go back to the consistency. You can't put the ball on the ground. You have to, be on top of your blitz pickups. You have to do those things. And the big thing I've told him about is you've got the perfect guy sitting right to your left in Javonte to learn from, who was you a couple years ago as a young rookie trying to figure it out and, lean on him. Javonte does everything right. And so Jaden's doing that. But again, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about, Malik Davis and the job he's doing for us. And we're all about creating competition. It's not just creating competition on the defensive side of the ball for jobs and who's going to play. It's on offense as well. And that would be another battle to watch.
You talked after the game about how the Broncos defended play action, bootlegs, kind of tight end, outlets and stuff like that. Is it simple as when it comes to the effectiveness of that, just, hey, if you're having a good running game, that will be a little bit more mysterious? Or how do you kind of defend against
it? It helps. Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps. If you got them worried about, fitting their gaps and running the ball, and if they look the same, we talk marriage all the time, right? They have to look the same. And if they're not concerned about the run game, then certainly they're going to be a little less apt to pursue and flow to the football, which makes it easier to handle those things. The other thing that I would say is if you're not winning first down, and you're dealing with second and seven or second and eight, a play pass will not be as effective as it would be on first and 10 or second and three, second and four, because they're not as concerned about the run.
Jeff.
Jeff Cole with Fox Sports. Coach, you mentioned spending more time with the defense each week. When you think back to week one preparing for Philly to now, how much more time do you feel like you're spending, and how much more are you trying to put your fingerprints on the decision-making?
Yeah, it's a significant amount more. And again, that's to help. It's not to get in the way. It's to, offer my expertise on what I see and how I would attack them and things like that. And it's been awesome. I mean, it's been really good conversations, and I'll give Flus a ton of credit, having been a coordinator and having had head coaches come and sit in my meetings and stuff. You don't like it, and you kind of take it a little bit myself personally. I took it personal. Why are you in my meeting? Hey, Pete, get out of my meeting. I don't want you in my meeting, Pete. Hey, Rex, why are you in my meeting? Get out, Flus has not been like that at all. And he's been very open to some of the thoughts. And again, he's leaning on the staff. And again, it's a good plan. Like I said, there will be changes, and there'll be, some bigger than others. And but the change is not necessarily what makes this thing go. What makes it go is going to be the execution. And that's what I want everybody to understand. And I would say it's been good, because I'm able to, look at this thing from the offensive perspective and maybe clear up some things that they look at opposite of how the offense looks at it.
Again, there's Brian Schottenheimer again right here on 105.3 The Fan. Again, coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Again, we'll talk about what Michael Jordan said next in The Fan.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.